If you want to let somebody know that you really care about them, I just don't think there's a better way than to let them know that you prayed for them. I prayed for you. This is a message that I have shared more than once over the years. I believe that this is one of the messages that is just repeated again and again in the letters of the Apostle Paul, because so many times in his letters, he tells them, I prayed for you. I bowed my knees for you. And I just want you to realize how powerful this is and how important this is in the body of Christ. Now, you know, I know that we're not supposed to pray to be seen of men. And certainly, you shouldn't tell people that you prayed for them just so that you look good. But the Apostle Paul did it over and over again. And so I want you to understand that this is a way that we can really encourage others. This is a way that we can let others know that they're not alone, that there's somebody that's in the fight with them, that they haven't been forgotten. And I believe this is especially important in the year 2020, in the time that we're living in and dealing with this pandemic. And there's so many people that are isolated, so many people that are dealing with being alone, and many of them feel forgotten. Many of them are dealing with health issues and financial problems and other situations. And you know what? For them, it just seems like they're alone. And it's so important. I believe this would be really powerful if even just this many of us in this church tonight get a hold of this. I believe we could actually have an impact for the kingdom of God's sake. And that we could be a real blessing, not only to brothers and sisters in Christ, but to some people who maybe don't even know the Lord, just to know that somebody is praying for them. You know what? It's very, very seldom that you'll find somebody that doesn't want you to pray for them. I mean, people that have never even been to church before, when they're going through a hard time, most of the time they welcome prayer. And here we are, the body of Christ. We're supposed to be a praying people. And you know what? The world needs to see that. I'm just trying not to meddle. I'm just going to move on here. So I'm just telling you, though, we need to be encouraging people. We need to be fighting for them in prayer. And you know, it's interesting, the Apostle Paul, we'll read this later, but the Apostle Paul requests prayer for himself, for his preaching. And Carmen knows how much I struggle with getting ready to preach. And you know what she always says to me? She said it today when she got here. She walked in my office and she said, I prayed for you. I'm just telling you, people need to hear those words. They need to know that somebody has been interceding for them. I remember many years ago and going through some difficult times, and my mother would write me a card real frequently, at least one a week for a while. And in every card, somewhere in there, she would say, I'm praying for you. And I'm just telling you, it's a powerful thing. It's a powerful way to encourage somebody, because there's not anything more powerful that we could ever do than to pray. I mean, the most powerful thing you can do for somebody is to pray for them. We need more of that in the body of Christ. This year especially, when so many are feeling alone, so many are staying home from church until the pandemic subsides, we need to let them know they're not forgotten. And there's no better way than to let them know we're lifting their name before the Lord in prayer. I believe there's been times in my life when I just knew, you know, that somebody was praying for me. I just sensed it in my spirit. But sometimes when we're in the heat of a great battle, it's hard for us to, I guess, be sensitive enough to the Spirit to really know that. You, when somebody's going through a real struggle, a real battle, sometimes they just need somebody to tell them straight up, I'm praying for you. And I hope you're hearing me tonight, because I'm challenging you to be a doer of this word. This is a word tonight that, well, it's very specific. We know exactly what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to pray for others. And sometimes, not every time, but sometimes, we need to tell them. How often we want to see other people change. Anybody want to see somebody else change? Now, some of you, you know, you're thinking of somebody in your family. Some of you thinking of somebody at your work, or you're thinking of somebody maybe in the government. I mean, you know, you're thinking of somebody in Hollywood, whoever, whatever. But let me tell you, there's people that we want to see get saved. There's people, we want to see backsliders come home. We want to see people really serving God with their whole heart. We want to see our enemies repent. We want to see our spouses relent. Amen? Sometimes they're the same. Anyway, we want to see our kids doing right. And we want our leaders to see the light. Don't worry, I'm not going to be a poet. I'm just telling you that if we want to see change, this is how we do it, is we pray. The number one failing method to change somebody is to talk about them. I don't understand the rationale of talking about other people, thinking that that's somehow going to change them. I mean, if we get up enough people, if we let enough people know how they're doing wrong, somehow that's going to get them to change. I can assure you it will not work. It has never worked. The number two failing method to get somebody to change is to nag them. To tell them over and over and over how that they need to change and what they're doing wrong and they need to do this instead. Won't work, won't work, won't work. You know what does work? Is when we talk to the one who can change somebody. You see, God has the power. He can turn the heart of the king. He is an almighty God. He can set things in motion. I want to tell you that when you're dealing with human wills, a lot of times it's not quick and it's not simple. But our God is big enough. He can set things in motion. He can arrange situations and circumstances and bring people into somebody's life. I'm just telling you that our God is big enough to deal with the human heart. But He waits for us to pray. We need to understand that great responsibility that we have in prayer. What we need in the body of Christ, I'm telling you, a lot more prayer, a lot less talk and criticism, and more prayer. Prayer is what really changes people. Battles are won or lost because of prayer or the lack of it. And those that are... Listen, we like to criticize and talk about the weak, the carnal, the unspiritual, the bound. Those are the very ones that need our prayers the most. Listen, if they were really, really spiritual, they might not need your prayers quite so bad, although I think spiritual people need people praying for them too. The Apostle Paul said he did. But I'm just telling you that those that are weak and carnal, they need somebody to fight for them. Sometimes, you know what, people get down, they get discouraged. They need somebody else to step in. You know, sometimes we struggle in our faith in a certain area that where the battle has just been against us. The circumstances of life have been against us, and it's hard, but that's when we need somebody to step in and intercede for us and be praying for us. Even when somebody's in disobedience and rebellion, we need to be interceding. There's a great example of that in Numbers 14 when Moses and the Lord are having a conversation, and the Lord says to Moses that he's going to destroy those people. He says he's going to disinherit them. He's going to raise up a new nation. And in verse 19, this is what Moses says. He says, "Pardon the iniquity of this people, I pray, according to the greatness of your mercy, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt, even until now." Verse 20, "Then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word." You see, we need to totally get rid of that old religious mindset that God's just going to do what he's going to do. It doesn't matter if we pray. Yes, it does. When we pray, it makes a difference. God said, "I have pardoned according to your word." Now, God wasn't playing a game with Moses. He really was going to destroy them. But he heeded the prayer of Moses. Now, what if you prayed for that person who's doing wrong, who's going the wrong way, who's not really serving God anymore like they should be? Anybody think of somebody that needs to be in church or be worshiping online, however they're going to do it, but they need to be serving God and living for God? Can you think of somebody that's not where they ought to be? I tell you, we need to pray for those people. And sometimes you need to let them know. In the right heart, the right spirit, sometimes you need to let them know, "I'm praying for you." I think sometimes people get the attitude that some people are just too far gone. They're just too bad. They're just too wicked. But all things are possible with God. Do you realize that when Jesus said that, is when he said it was hard for the rich to be saved, and the disciples said, "Well, who then can be saved?" Jesus says, "With God, all things are possible." See, with God, anybody can be saved. Anybody's life can be changed. We just need to not give up praying for somebody. When the children of Israel rebelled against the Lord, listen to what Samuel says to them in 1 Samuel 12:23. He says, "As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you." Have you ever thought about that? That it could be a sin to stop praying for somebody? That's what Samuel said. He felt a great responsibility. He felt like it was put upon him. That it would actually be a sin if he was to stop praying for them. You know what? We like to read those Old Testament verses and claim those promises and say, "Well, if it was true for Samuel, it's true for me." Well, how about this one? If it was true for Samuel, maybe it's true for us too, that we have a responsibility to keep praying for people and not stop, but keep standing in the gap, keep believing. Don't complain about your spouse, your children, your family. Don't complain about your church, your preacher. Amen. Don't complain about your leaders. Pray. Most of us, if we just spend as much time praying as we do complaining, I'm telling you, we'd see more change. You know, it doesn't really take any more effort to pray than it does to complain. Well, why don't we do? Because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And it's amazing how often we give in to that old carnal nature and complain instead of giving in to the Spirit who will draw us to prayer and get us interceding for other people. Paul said in Ephesians 6:18-20, he says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Here he is, an ambassador in chains, he says. You know what his prayer request is? "Pray for me that I'll speak the word of God boldly." You need to pray for your pastor that he'll preach it, that he'll have a word from God, and he'll speak it boldly. pray for me all the time. And listen, if I'm not preaching good, you're not praying good. Mm-hmm. We all need it, every one of us. But prayer, you know what? When you pray for other people, you know the first person it changes is you. We have a hard time loving our enemies. But maybe if we prayed for those who mistreat us, we'd end up loving them. Prayer changes us. Anybody here today believe that there was a certain person or maybe a group of people that prayed you into the kingdom? Anybody? Anybody know that there was a time that the Lord kept you alive because somebody was praying for you somewhere? Oh, it's happened so many times. In Acts chapter 12, Peter was put in prison and they planned on killing him, but the church prayed and the Lord sent an angel to deliver Peter. An amazing miracle that happened. And our God has not changed. He is still the same miracle working God. And all through Paul's letters, he keeps saying things like, I'm praying for you. I make mention of you in my prayers. I bow my knees that God would grant you. He's over and over, he tells his readers, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. Now listen, this was recorded in Scripture for our sake, that we would understand how important it is to pray for people. You know, Christians, one of the worst sins in the body of Christ, or most common sins, I'll put it that way, in the body of Christ is lying. So if you tell somebody you're praying for them, you better pray for them, right? I mean, that's just a special kind of lying when you tell somebody, you know, it's like, I'm going to pray for you, and then you don't do it. God sees that. But listen, I know y'all are going to do it when you say it, right? In fact, the best way is to do it ahead of time, and then you can tell them, I prayed for you. But here's the thing. That's written in there for us, that we could see not only it's important to pray, but it's a fantastic way to encourage, to build up the faith of others when they realize that there's others who are standing in the battle with them and fighting for them. Paul, this great man of God, used so mightily. He knew that prayer was the key. He knew that's what really changed lives. And so he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. And I'm telling you that if we really believe that God changes lives, we'll pray. We'll pray and expect. We'll stand in prayer and in faith until we see that come to pass. But lives are changed by the power of God, and He moves when we pray. And sometimes your victory is going to come when you're praying for somebody else. I try not to talk about it too much in the pulpit, but I'm kind of obsessed with the book of Job. My wife can tell you. I talk about it at home all the time. It's just so interesting to me. There's so much there that I don't understand. And I know some people, they look at three verses and they got the whole thing all figured out. And I'm just like, okay, whatever. But I read the book and I'm like, there's so many things here, and the more that I learn about it, it's one of those things, you know, I learn about it, and then I see that there's more that I don't know. But Job went through so much, And he had these three friends. I guess you call them friends. The Bible calls them friends. But when I read about how these guys treated Job and the things they said to Job, I don't really think they were very good friends. They constantly criticized him and accused him and tried to tell him again and again that this was all his fault. Over and over and over, they accused him. You know what? When you're going through a hard time, when you lose everything financially, when you're sick as a dog, and worst of all, when somebody has lost a child, the last thing that that person needs is for somebody to tell them that it's their fault. Last thing they need is for somebody to point out to them and criticize them and verbally attack them. And you know what? That's the way a lot of Christians sound sometimes to the world. Well, the reason you're in this situation, you know, it's because blah, 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 blah. Job's friends. Do you know the best part? Job 42:10. It tells us that the Lord turned the captivity of Job. And you know when he did it? And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Now, Job's friends were in trouble. The Lord said that they had not said what was right about him as his servant Job had. And that's why, by the way, I'm going to get off Job here in a second, but I never quote Job's friends. I hear some people quoting Job's friends, and some of it sounds real religious. It sounds really good. And you know, it's like a lot of truth. Maybe there's a lot of falsehoods. Maybe there's some truth mixed in it in there. But I don't ever quote Job's friends, because the Lord said they didn't say what was right about him. He said, as my servant Job had. And so the Lord told those friends, you better get Job to pray for you. But think about it from old Job's perspective. These guys have attacked me and criticized me and on and on and on. During my worst days, they just made it worse. But he prays for them. And you see those people that have mistreated you and accused you and been ugly to you, you know what you need to do? You need to pray for them. It might just be that that is the very day that God will restore all your losses, that he'll make it right for you when you pray for your enemies. You pray for those who've mistreated you and persecuted you. Sometimes maybe the Lord will do like he did with Job's friends, and he'll make them come to you. But if he doesn't, pray for them anyway. Read a story about a pilot that shot down in World War II, and he managed to survive for a while on a small raft. But his food supply ran out, and he'd just about given up the will to live. He just didn't think he could go on anymore. But it was the Holy Spirit that reminded him, there are people at home that are praying for you. And it was that thought that gave him the strength to keep going and until he was eventually rescued. And sure enough, his family at home had been praying for him during that time. And I'm just telling you, it's very powerful. See, this isn't a little thing. This is very powerful to let somebody know you're praying for them. Whether you tell them in person or you give them a call, or nowadays it's so quick, you can just send them a text and say, I'm praying for you. And sometimes we need to do like, we need to follow the example of the Apostle Paul, because so often he didn't, now sometimes he just said, I'm praying for you. But sometimes he goes into detail and he tells them at least kind of the headline of how he's praying for them. I'm praying for you that you'll be strengthened in the inner man. I'm praying that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened, that you might know the hope. I'm just telling you, sometimes you need to tell them, I'm praying for you this way. But it encourages others. Hebrews 10:25 says, let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Encourage others by praying for them. You know, praying for other people doesn't get much recognition. Sometimes it may be thankless. In other words, they don't come back to you and say, oh, thank you, maybe. But here's the thing. It always pays off. The Lord never forgets those prayers. Pray for people that are sick. Know anybody that's sick? Pray for people with family problems, people with financial trouble, somebody that lost a job. Pray for those that are away from the Lord. Pray for those that have become a casual Christian, a lukewarm Christian. Pray that the Lord would send laborers into the field. I'm telling you, you know, this is such a strange time for all of us, but it's a strange time for the church, for the body of Christ, where, you know, in so many ways, it's kind of like everything's been scaled back, and, you know, a lot of people that normally are involved in ministry are not involved in ministry right now, and I understand that, but I'm just saying we need to be praying not only that God heal our land, but that the Lord send laborers into the field. Because I'm telling you, there's still people going to hell without the Lord. There's still people that are struggling without the Lord. Still people that are hurting and broken without the Lord. And we need laborers to go to the field. And the best thing we can do is pray. Pray for those that are in ministry. Pray for those that are in leadership. Pray for those that are in the government. Pray for those that are in a battle. Pray for those that have made themselves an enemy of Christ. Pray. And sometimes tell them. Not every time, but often we need to tell them, I prayed for you. Sometimes it's a blessing to those who are struggling. Just if somebody says to them, is there something I could pray with you about? You know, I think that's a great way to lovingly share your faith in a way that almost anybody is open to. Is there something I can pray with you about? I know many times I endured things that it was beyond my strength. Did things that was beyond my ability. And I know it was the Spirit of the Lord. And I know it was because of the prayers of others. Jesus is always the best example to follow. And I love the story when Simon Peter was about to go through a great battle, and Jesus says to him in Luke 22, beginning from verse 31, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. There it is. I think Peter needed to know this. It's not an accident. Jesus wasn't telling him for spiritual brownie points. Peter needed to know. Jesus prayed for me that I would make it. There's some people that need to know somebody prayed for me so I can make it. I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. He says, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. And then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you deny me three times that you know me. Listen, this was going to be devastating to Peter. That he could do such a horrible thing. You know how he got through it? Jesus prayed for him. And Peter knew, Jesus prayed for me. Everybody in here knows somebody that's in a battle. And it may not be as blatant and open as this was, where Jesus tells Peter, he says, Satan has asked for you that he might sift you as wheat, but be assured of this, that every one of those people that we can think of, they have the same adversary, the devil, who's seeking whom he may devour. We got to pray for those people. Intercede on their behalf. Somebody that's struggling, somebody that's facing temptation, somebody that's being tried, pray for them that their faith will not fail. Thomas DeWitt Talmage, famous preacher many years ago, and his grandparents attended a revival service under the ministry of Charles Finney, and they returned home. They determined to pray for the salvation of their children. The children were going off for an evening of partying, and just before they left, Talmage's grandmother called her children to her room. She said, now I want you to remember while you're away that I'm going to be in this room praying the whole time for your salvation. So they go off to the party. Well, y'all know how this is going to go, don't you? But amid the fun of the party, they were unable to forget that their mother had told them that she was going to be praying for them. And Talmage said the next day his grandparents heard someone crying in an adjoining room and found their daughter pleading with God to save her. And out in the barn, her brothers were experiencing the same conviction. In the wagon house, their son David was praying to God for pardon and mercy. Before long, the whole family was saved. And news began to spread, and the whole region was stirred, and many were converted. How'd this happen? Mom and Daddy's praying. Just praying and praying. You know what else they did? I'm going to be praying for you. They told them. They ruined their evening. I'm going to be praying for you. The whole time you're gone, I'm going to be right here in this bedroom praying for you. Oh, I'm telling you, prayer is so powerful. And you know what? Sometimes telling somebody that you're praying, letting them know, oh, how powerful that is. The Apostle Paul did it over and over. There's a reason that he did it. And I'm telling you, we need to do this, church. You need to be thinking of people, writing people's names down, and make up your mind you're going to let those people know that you're praying for them. It's recorded in the Word of God as an example for us. So we pray for our loved ones. We pray for our friends, our leaders. We pray for our enemies, those that treat us wrong. Here's Matthew 5:44, I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Pray for them. Not curse them. Don't call down fire on them. Pray for them. That God will turn their heart and bless them. Pray for those that don't deserve it, that their eyes will be open, and that God will do a work in their life. They say, but I don't really want that. That's all the more reason you need to pray for them. Because before God changes their heart, He'll probably change yours first. But prayer is so powerful. we waste so much time with silly, frivolous things that don't matter, fruitless endeavors that don't make a difference. But prayer does. And so we're gonna take just a minute. It's early. Somebody must have prayed for me. But stand with me. We're gonna take just a minute to pray.